All right, let's look in Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. I've been preaching out of Hebrews 11 for a long time, it seems like. For over a year now, just hitting and missing along the way when we've felt like the Lord would want us to. And we've got them and that to the last man. Hebrews 11 talks about, and we've been preaching on the roll call of faith. And we've looked at all the patriarchs and matriarchs and that of the Old Testament, and that how they had faith. That they serve God in faith. And as I've said, there's been some that I would have put in here and some that I would not have put. But God had a reason for all of them being in here. And we've come down to this last man by the name of Samuel. And let me say tonight that Samuel is a very unique man if you look at his life. I mean, he's very unique. We're going to look at his whole life. We're going to be able to look at it all tonight. And I've been doing a study on some of them's got worried when I said we're going to look at his whole life. And if you know anything about Samuel, he's got a big life in the Bible. Amen? And some of them's got a little excited when I said that. But I want us to begin to read in Hebrews chapter 11 and look in verse 32. And the writer said, "And what shall I more say? For the time should fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and of Samson, Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight." Guess who that was? And I could have told you who a lot of their mothers were, but every time I come to that "waxed valiant in the fight," that we know that that's Gideon. Boy, I mean, when they got wore out and was tired, they were still fighting, amen? Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Talking about Elijah and Elisha. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better promise. But then the Bible talks about in verse 36, and others. We're not talking about David and Samuel and the prophets. Now we're talking about others. Had a trial of cruel mockings and scourging. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sown asunder. They were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. Boy, they done all that and that to serve the Lord. How many of us, let me ask you tonight, not only don't want to be stoned or sown asunder or to be tempted and that to be slain with the sword, but they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and tormented. How many of us would do that to serve Christ tonight? He said, of whom the world was not worthy. He said, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They hadn't got the Savior like me and you have. But God hadn't provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, we love you, and we thank you tonight. Thank you for the good testimonies that we've heard so far. It's just good to see everybody here tonight. And Lord, I pray that you just help us while we stand to preach. You certainly know the need tonight in folks' hearts. And Lord, we just want to look at your man Samuel tonight, maybe to find a little encouragement. And that from him and his life. And Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here lost tonight, that they'd get saved. And Lord, you'd help the one tonight looking maybe for some wisdom and direction for their life. And Lord, they'd find it tonight. Now, we certainly need a touch from you, and I can't do it without you. I can't preach without you tonight. You said in John 15:5, "For without me you can do nothing." And Lord, I pray each of us would realize that tonight, that Lord, we got to seek you and find you and then move as you'd have us to tonight. And Lord, again, we love you and thank you for Jesus who died for us yonder at Calvary so that we might be saved. Do I ask you now to save that sinner's nearest tail, save the one in here tonight that's lost, for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, as we come down here to that last man that the Bible talks about, or that verse talks about here in verse 32, it talks about a man by the name of Samuel. And we're talking about folk that have faith. And listen, the life that we live today must be a life and that of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not
by sight. And so we know that we must have faith in this life that we live in. Now listen, Hebrews chapter 11, look back in verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we know that we put our hope and our trust in the Lord and that for salvation because we're saved by faith, amen, and we're kept by faith. Thank God for that tonight. But we also must live by faith. We must put our faith and that in the Son of God, that He's not only going to keep us, but that He's going to direct us and guide us in the way that we need to go. But as we look at Samuel tonight, let me say just a couple of things about him before we get started. As I said, Samuel is a very unique person in the Bible if you ever study on him. Listen, I mean, he has a very unique start, which we'll see tonight. But you know that he was the first prophet and that to ever anoint a king and that over the nation of Israel. Samuel was the one that went out there and anointed and that King Saul over the nation of Israel. Even when he said, you don't need one, God said, you don't need one. But they were bound and determined to have a king. God sends Samuel out there to anoint him king over Israel. So he anointed and that the first king. And let me say this, that not only did he anoint the first king, but he anointed the finest king. Now listen, that was King David. Amen. He went down there and to Jesse's house. God said, go down there to Jesse's house and perform a sacrifice. And said, you're going to find my man down there that you're going to anoint for king in King Saul's place, for I have rejected him. And so he goes down there and I believe it's Eliab that come through first, and Samuel said, surely this is him. Surely this is him. He looked at him. And, I mean, he was of great stature and a great man, a great man. And I mean, he probably looked good and he was probably sturdy peeled. And I mean, he looked like a king ought to look. And God said, that ain't him. He said, look, I don't look on the outside like man looketh, Samuel. I look on the inside and that of the heart. And so Jesse made all his sons and that passed before Samuel. And God said, none of them's him. Samuel, I bet he was getting just a little bit worried. Amen. I've been there a time or two thinking that all my options and that were exhausted. You ever been there when every option that you thought was that you had was exhausted and then all of a sudden God comes through with another option? And so Samuel said, do you have another son anywhere? And Jesse said, I've got one more. He's just a lad. He's down there tending to the sheep. And Samuel said, go down there and get him. Said, we're not going to sit down till you get him up here. And boy, I believe when Samuel sent him walking up the drive, holding his shepherd's staff, coming with that shepherd's crib on the side of his on his side over there, I believe God said, that's the man right there that you need to anoint. And so we find that Samuel was a very unique man. I want you to take your Bible and go back to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 tonight, and we're going to look at Samuel's start. Samuel got a very unique start in his life, if you know anything about him tonight. Listen, I want you to read with me for just a minute in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now listen, you find a man by the name of Elkanah and his wife named Hannah. Hannah had no children. And Elkanah was married to another woman named by the name of Peninnah, and she had children. And boy, she provoked Hannah every time they went up to Shiloh to worship. And boy, I mean, just made fun of her, if you'd let me say that, and poked at her and made her grieved in her heart. In verse 8, the Bible said right here, then said Elkanah, her husband, her Hannah, why weepest thou and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Now you've heard me say this a thousand times. Man, he's sitting here talking to a broken-hearted woman about not having a child. And that's a man's ignorance for you right there. That says, am I not better to you than 10 sons? No, he wasn't better to her than 10 sons. That woman right there wanted a boy. And it didn't matter how much he gave her and what he'd done for her. It was not going to satisfy that longing that was in her to have a child. Amen. And sometimes us men just don't understand that. And so right here the Bible said, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. Now let me say this here. You've probably heard me say this too. Where did he get his seat at? You never find a seat in that in the tabernacle.
Not in none of the furniture of the tabernacle was there ever supposed to be a seat. Why? The priest was always supposed to be up ministering, and that in the tabernacle, never to sit down, and that never to rest. Verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul. Ever been there? And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and forget not thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Can I stop right here and say, can I say this? If you know, we'll read some more about this in a little bit. But you know, that's what Eli had been dealing with, was those daughters of Belial over there because of his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. He was bringing them a wicked, they was bringing them a wicked women there into the tabernacle there and laid with them there at the door. And I mean, it was just a mess. And listen, God wasn't being honored, none of that stuff. And so here Eli, he was used to this stuff. And she said, don't count your daughter me as a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was sad no more. And I've got a message I preach out of verse 18. Some of you have heard me preach it over the years, that her countenance was sad no more. She wasn't holding no baby yet, but she wasn't sad no more. She didn't have no boy child yet, but she wasn't sad no more. Why? She'd give her heart and that to the Lord. She turned it over to the Lord. You know, when you turn them things over to the Lord, He can make you happy. Oh, it still ain't been fixed yet, but He can make you happy in it. Amen? And look what it said. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. Boy, I bet she worshiped like she had never worshiped before. Before the Lord, and returned and came to her house, came to their house, to Ramah. Now Canaan knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. And Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him, till thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her and with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him unto the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worship the Lord there. Now I want you to imagine just for a minute Samuel's start. Say, preacher, why are you getting tore up here a little bit about this right here? You know why I'm getting tore up a little bit? Because she's given up her boy to give to the Lord. I want you to look right there in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want you to look that first of all, Samuel's family was one that loved God. Samuel's family, they went up every year in that to worship. Samuel, I believe, if I could say this tonight, that he had a good start in serving the Lord. I mean, his mama and that knew the Lord. I'm glad tonight that my mother knew the Lord. Amen. I'm glad that I've got, as the Bible talks about having a good heritage, I'm glad that I've got a good heritage tonight, and that in the Lord. Now, some of you ain't got that tonight, but I do, and I'm glad to have that. And you know what you do? You change that heritage that you have now and keep on serving the Lord. Amen. Help us now, Lord, I pray. But I want you to look at Samuel's family. You look right here that it was a time when the Lord, and that was not open or did not have an open vision to the people. What are you talking about? If you look in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible said, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision." And so you find that God just did not have a man that was readily on the scene and that to find out what he had ready for the nation of Israel. And so you find that Hannah has made her trip and that to worship God, but her heart was not in a place to worship. Can I ask you tonight, have you ever come to church and just not had a heart to worship God? Have you ever just come and been burdened down and beat down and bound up and just was not in a place where you could worship God? I tell you, there's been a lot of times I've come in here like that. I mean, especially on Wednesday nights, after you come in and the devil's beat on you all week, it seems like. And I know how some of you are. You work, and you come in, and I tell you, I love it when we get up here in the choir on Wednesday night, and some of them first songs that we sing, it seems like God just rolls the burden off of us and gets us ready to go to meeting. Have you ever been like that? Amen. I have tonight. But listen, here Hannah is. Her husband don't understand what she's going through. And so she goes over there and she crawls up around the altar and she begins to talk to the Lord. And she begins to make a promise. The Lord, as a matter of fact, she makes more than one promise. First of all, she said, "Lord," she said, "if you'll give me a man child," she said, "then I'll give him unto the Lord all the days of his life." That's an awful big promise right there, ain't it? That's a big promise. Listen, how many of you mamas would be willing to give up that child? How many of you would be willing to say, "Lord, I want you to take my child. When I get him weaned, you can have him. I'm going to take him to the church house and I'm going to give him to the preacher and he's going to take him and he's going to train him and he's going to use him the way that he sees fit and that in the will of the Lord." And then she said not only that, but she said, "Lord, I promise you there'll never be a razor come to his head." So she had him sitting under a Nazarite vow. Listen, the power of God, and that was going to remain on his life. He was going to be separated and that from the world. And so the Bible said right there that Eli thought that she was a woman of Belial right there, but God heard her prayer, didn't she? Because the Bible said there in verse 15, "But have poured out my soul before the Lord." Can I tell you that Hannah, that Samuel had a mama that knew how to pray. Now, I'm talking about his start right now. Samuel got a good start, didn't he? Because he had a mama that knew how to pray. Now, I've preached on her several times over the years. And can you imagine, and if she could be proud without boasting, can you imagine how proud that Hannah probably was of what Samuel turned into? I mean, probably one of the greatest prophets that the nation of Israel ever had. All because she made a promise and that to the Lord all the way back at the beginning of his life. And so she said, "Lord, I just want you to take him and use him and use him the way that you see fit." And so we find that Hannah knew how to pray. And so she turned that child over to the Lord. He had a good start. Can I tell you, if you look in chapter 2, I'll come back and deal with the end of chapter 1 here in a minute. But if you look at the beginning of chapter 2, you'll find not only Hannah's prayer, but then you'll find her praise. Boy, she praised the Lord for what God had done for her. Well, that's what we're kind of doing in here tonight when we're all testifying. We're praising the Lord for what he had done for us. I mean, listen, I'm glad tonight to be saved. But I'm glad tonight for my family that I had that made sure that my mom and dad made sure that we went to church. I'm thankful, and you've heard me say this a million times, I'm thankful tonight for the heritage that I had at my grandmother's house that loved God. And I remember that we'd sit up there on that old swing on the front porch in that old shotgun house that was falling down. It seemed like this little old feller, you know, when I was just little. And we would sit out there and she'd wait for the cool breeze of the day to come and blow. And she'd sit out there and sew. And I remember she'd put that thimble on her finger, you know, and she'd be sitting there sewing. And as we were sitting there singing, just as I was a little bitty feller, and she'd say, "All right, now thank the Lord for the good cool breeze that come through." And so we thank the Lord for the cool breeze
that come through. And so I'm very thankful for the start that I have. But can I tell you, not Samuel had a good start. Now can I tell you, not you may not a good start. You may not have had a good start, but you sure can finish right. Amen. I've talked to folk that's been worried to death about how their marriage got started. I mean, it's just tore them up about how their marriage didn't start the best in the world. And here's my answer. It may not have started right, but you sure enough make it finish right. Amen. Hey, listen, there's some things that just don't start right, but brother, you sure enough, and sister, you sure enough get them to finish right. Amen. And so, but Samuel's getting a good start. Samuel's getting a mama that loves God, a mama that's going to keep her word. Now, I want you to imagine Hannah's heart. I tried to, but listen, not being a mama, I can't ever imagine what she felt like. She knew she was going to have to turn that boy loose. She knew that. And she knew she was going to have to keep her promise, or God was going to come knocking. And so can you imagine, I mean, her very first child, as she takes him up there. And I can imagine the journey, because see, they've already went up and that to worship. And I can imagine that maybe him and her just went up to Shiloh. And I don't know how old he was, but she had him weaned at that time. And I kind of just imagine as they went up through there, some of the things that she told him, and how that she loved him, and how God was going to take care of him, and just see to him, just tell him to serve the Lord, and love the Lord, and all those things. And I can imagine, I get all these things running in my mind. And I get a little heartbroken for Hannah, because she had to give that boy up. You know, there comes some times in our life that to serve the Lord, we got to give some things up. Do you know that? Because sometimes we got to give some things up, and that for the Lord to get us where He wants us at. And I tell you, sometimes it can break our heart if we ain't careful. But listen, here goes Hannah. So she takes him up there. She takes him up there and she gives him to Eli after she has her sacrifice there. And she said, "Here he is, Eli." She said, I'm this woman. She said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Samuel got a good start in his life. But I want you to look in his start of his ministry. Eli had to train Samuel, but he started working in the tabernacle. I would say that Eli was probably happy to have Samuel there. Why is that? Because his two boys, Hophni and Phinehas, they were sorry. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. They were sorry. They were cheating the people over there. If you read the middle part to the end of chapter 2, or I guess the middle part of chapter 2, you'll find that they were taking advantage of the people in that in their sacrifice. If you'll look in verse 11 of chapter 2, the Bible said, "Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." I bet he was tickled to death to get Samuel. Now guess who was training? Guess who was training Samuel? Well, Eli was. Eli was training him. Now, Eli had trained two boys bad because he didn't correct them. And God gave him a chance to make some things right here. God gave him a chance to make some things right. Listen, he got a good start and that with Eli. I want you to look right here in chapter 2. And I want you to look, and let me see if I can find where we need to be here. And let's see here. Look in verse 18. Well, let me look back up in look in verse 18. After it tells about all the wickedness that Eli's two boys done. Now, all this wickedness is going on in the tabernacle here. But the Bible said, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod." Now can I tell you tonight, mamas and daddies, that your children can serve the Lord. They serve the Lord. You need to set them up to serve the Lord. You don't need to tell them that they can't tonight. That's why I like when these young ones come up here and they sing. I love that. we're teaching them to serve the Lord. Hey, when we teach them in that, the Word of God, and let them come up here and quote that scripture, when we let them do something in the church, I'm not saying that they got to do everything, but I'm just saying, hey, it's okay to let them do something and that for the Lord tonight. But here Eli was, or here Samuel was. Now remember, I'm talking about his start now. He got a good family start, but then he got a good start in the tabernacle. So listen, here he is. And the Bible said, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Now if you read, you'll find that not only did Hannah have some more children there in verse 20, but then in verse 21, or let me see if I can find it right here. You'll find that she made a little coat at one time every year and would take it and that up to Samuel. Now, God's using Samuel to do some things here. God's telling Eli, if you read the rest of chapter 2, I believe it is, that God tells Eli, I'm going to cut you off. He says, Eli, because you have not done what you should have done with your boys, I'm going to cut you off. You had the opportunity to make things. Can I tell you, Mom and Daddy, tonight, and I've told you over and over and over again, there's times that you have an opportunity to correct your children and get them straightened up. But you know, there comes a time when it gets too late to do that. I mean, they're going to get outside of your control. They're going to leave your house. They're going to get away from you. Friend, by that time, it's really too late. You got to take the bull by the horns while they're living at home, while you can still correct them, while correction will still work. Listen, because if you don't correct them, they're going to get out in life, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If they're saved, God is going to get their attention. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God's going to get a hold of them. That reaping day is going to come. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that there is the chastening hand of the Lord. I don't know how I got there, but that's good. And so God tells them, said, look, what's going to happen is Hophni and Phinehas are going to die all in one day. And we know that's what happens. They do that. So we find that God tells Eli what's going to happen. So in verse 26, let me see if I can find it. Verse 26 of chapter 2, the Bible says, and the child Samuel grew old and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Well, ain't that a good thing? In serving God. Don't you want your children and that to be in favor with God tonight? Don't you want to be in favor with God tonight? I want to favor the Lord on my life tonight. I hope you do. I want God to be pleased with me. Now, I'm talking about the start of his ministry now. We see the start in his family. Listen, that Hannah gave him a good start. Prayed for him. Sought before God for him. And kept her word in what she said she would do for the Lord. But now Eli's got him. Now, do you reckon she knew about Hophni and Phinehas? I'd say she did, don't you? Everybody really did. If you read this chapter right here, chapter 2, everybody knew what was going on. I would have had a tough time turning my boy loose in the tabernacle. But she had made her promise. And God didn't say, stop. He said, go ahead. He gave her peace to be able to do that. So he gets his start in his ministry. The Bible said he ministered before the Lord in verse 18, verse 26. He grew on and was favored with the Lord and with men. And so God lays out what he's going to do to Eli's house because he would not do right. If you look in chapter 3 of the book of 1 Samuel, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I call not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, and Samuel. And the Lord went and called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son, lie down again.
Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Can I tell you tonight that, listen, you need to teach your children when they hear that call. You tell them there's going to be a voice. There's going to be a voice that they're not going to hear audibly, but they're going to hear spiritually in their heart. And when that voice calls, you just answer it. And it's going to be a tug. And boy, that's what Samuel's getting. At least Samuel was obedient to the call of the Lord. He just got up and thought it was Eli. And so the Bible said that, "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth, it shall tingle. Now listen, God's beginning to talk to Samuel. This is the first time that God's ever spoke to Samuel. I want you to look what he says. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." You know what it means? You know what he's saying right there? It was too late and there was no remedy. That's what he's saying right there. He said, "I want you to tell Eli," said, "I'm telling you right now that listen, judgment is coming and it's too late." And he knows why. Now think about this right here for a minute. The very first thing God ever told him, ever told Samuel, was on judgment. Think about that for just a second. The first thing that Samuel ever got from God is he's going to have to tell his mentor and the man that was teaching him how to serve in the tabernacle, God is fixing to wipe you all out. That's what he's going to have to tell him. And by the way, that's exactly what happens. If you look across the pages of history right here in this Bible, and just a couple of chapters later, you'll find out as they went out to battle the Philistines. As a matter of fact, it's the next chapter, chapter 4. As they went out to battle, and that the Philistines, and Hophni and Phinehas goes out with the Ark of God, and they lose the Ark of God. Hophni and Phinehas are killed, and the Bible said when they come back, they tell Eli that Hophni and Phinehas died. That didn't stir him that much, but when they said, "We've lost the Ark of the Covenant," he fell off his stool backwards and died. So the very first thing Samuel got was judgment from the Lord. And so God performed that thing. And so Samuel has to tell Eli exactly what happened. Look at verse 15 of chapter 3. "And Samuel lay until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. And then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I." He always said, "Here am I." Did you catch that? "Here am I." Samuel, "Here am I." Samuel, "Here am I." Well, when the Lord calls us, do we say, "Here am I"? How many times do we do that? Verse 17, "And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said," now I want you to watch what Eli said. "And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good." Eli knew fighting against God was not going to change anything. I'm going to tell you, it would be a shame to get down to the end of my life and I could have done something with my children, and because I chose not to, God's going to judge me on that too.
I'm going to tell you, moms and daddies, He gives you them children to raise and to raise in Him. Amen. You may not think so, but He does. The Bible said a child left to himself to shame. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. But the Bible went on to say this in verse 19. I want you to look at the growth that Samuel had. You know, you ought to grow spiritually. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. That means Samuel kept them and obeyed them and done them. Do you know tonight, if you've been saved any time at all, that you ought to have some spiritual maturity about you and some spiritual growth about you? That you ought to be able, that no matter who stands behind this pulpit, and no matter how hard they preach, you ought to be able to take it. Why? Because there's some spiritual maturity to you. You know, even if somebody was to come in here and say something wrong, you let me worry about that, but you ought to have enough spiritual maturity about you to just kind of know that the preacher will handle it. Now, I'm going to try to keep people out of here that's going to say anything wrong, but you know, even every now and again, people get a little crazy. But Samuel grew not only physically, but he grew spiritually. He was serving the Lord, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. He kept them because that's important to him. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew, now watch this right here, that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. But I believe they were excited that Samuel was going to be a prophet, because they hadn't heard nothing from God in a while. They hadn't heard nothing. I mean, we've got this completed revelation, and all you got to do is open it up and read it, and you can hear from God. But they hadn't heard nothing from him. I mean, they've went through the judges, and the time of the judges is over, and listen, they're not getting nothing from God. Not that God didn't leave himself without a witness. Because if you go back and you look, Eli's judgment come from the man of God. There was a preacher come through to Eli and said, this is what's going to happen. God never leaves himself without a witness. Now you've got to understand that. So even the people knew that Samuel was established to be the prophet of the Lord. Now verse 21, I want you to notice how God revealed himself. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh. Look here. By the word of the Lord. How does he reveal himself to us? By the word of the Lord. Until you read your Bible, you're not going to get nothing from the Lord. You've got to read this book. Now, I love it when he stirs us. I love it when he directs us in that by the Holy Spirit. And by the way, it'll never be contrary to the word of God. But I'm going to be honest with you tonight. He's not going to stir you. He's not going to move you. He's not going to guide you until you open this book up and begin to read it. He reveals himself to us by the word of God. You know how sinners get saved? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of the Lord, which liveth and abideth forever. How did we find out we was lost? The Bible said we was. Preacher preached on it, but he preached out of the Bible. How did you find out you need to draw close? The Bible said so. How do you know that there were some things wrong in your life that you needed to fix? Bible said so. And so God took that by the Holy Spirit and moved in your heart. A lot of Baptists is afraid of the Holy Spirit tonight. Amen. I love Him. I love Him. Because He's the one that comes by. And He squeezes my heart. And when I ain't living right, it gets hard. And He works on it, massages it, and makes it soft. And boy, when I am trying to do right, He comes by and squeezes on it some more. And that's why them old tears come out. Because He squeezed them tears out of me, you see. Listen, Samuel, they had him in the roll call of faith over there. And I tell you, he had a good start. Had a good start at home and had a good start in the ministry. God got him started good. Can I ask you tonight, moms and dads, about your children? Are they getting a good start? They're getting a good start. I think you can give them a good start in the Lord. Amen. I do tonight. I hope, listen, that God's helped you. Now, let's bow our heads tonight across the house.
I really wasn't sure how this thing was going to go tonight. I praise the blessing. Let's get some verse of invitation, fellas, if we would tonight. Maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe you moms and dads need to come and pray about your children. Maybe you just want to pray tonight. Maybe God showed you that you're lost and you need to get saved. Listen, I want you to come tonight. Whatever the need is, these men are going to come. And I want you to come and pray this evening if you need to. But listen, maybe you like Samuel tonight and you just want to serve the Lord. Do you know if you want to serve God, you can just come and say, Lord, I want to serve you. Maybe you want to be like Hannah tonight. Just come gather up around this altar and say, Lord, I just want to praise you tonight for what you've done, for the answered prayers. That's what chapter 2, the beginning of it was about, was just answered prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you for answering my prayer tonight, for hearing me and answering me. Well, he's come by. I appreciate the Lord for coming by tonight. I needed that. I did. You may not have, but I needed tonight. I'll be honest with you. I needed. Now, when you fellas get ready, you just go ahead and start playing. It'll be all right. Listen, if you need to come and pray, I want you to tonight. If you need to come, I want you to.